Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by...
Nathan Swift, the Arts and Entertainment Editor.
Joseph Avila, the Assistant News Editor.
Cameron Young, Video Editor.
Miles Andrews-Duvet, Sports Editor.
Welcome to the Newsroom, the people behind the paper. Thank you for joining us today, guys. We're going to be talking about the terrorist attacks in Paris and Beirut as well. And we're also going to be talking about social media and activism. And everyone's using social media for activism now. And is that effective or not? We're also going to be talking about the University of Missouri and the incidents that have been happening there. We're also going to be talking about the Million Student March that took place on our campus and other campuses. So we're going to get started. I'm sure you guys have all heard about the terrorist attacks by now. But what were you guys thinking, I guess, when you heard about it initially, and how do you think the reactions have been?
I almost didn't believe it. Like, I was like, wait, is this real? Like is this, you know, like a media stunt or some sort of like sick joke that somebody put out there? Like, yeah, because it was so unexpected.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at this point, like, when you hear something like that, like, not that we're used to hearing stuff like that, but I think a really big critique about the way that it was covered was, like, it's like a few days before, it was Lebanon, right? Beirut? Mm-hmm. There was a bombing, and that wasn't really covered as much as the one in Paris. And I don't think you should ever try to compare these, like, terrorist attacks or, like, just any kind of... horrible tragedy, like, you shouldn't try to compare them, but it's just interesting the way that they were covered in the media. Like, everybody but a really large majority of people on Facebook, they just changed their picture and they're people who previously weren't really politically aware or, like, active that I know of, that they don't really follow the news, they don't really follow what's going on, but they jumped on the trend of changing, I'm not criticizing it, but I just think it's interesting the way that that all just panned out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say I'm very grateful for the six or so students here who are studying abroad in France. I'm glad that they're safe, and I was very fortunate to read the chancellor's email saying, "Hey, this thing happened, but all of our students are okay." Yeah. Do you guys know anybody who went abroad in Paris?
Not personally, no.
Okay.
I don't.
I know someone who is studying abroad. I won't say their name, but I've had her for a few classes. If she's listening to this, she might recognize me. But yeah. So I'm glad that, you know, she's all right and everyone in general is all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. I mean, I know that there were three. Teams of suicide bombers, I believe, that attacked like six locations in Paris, and then in Beirut there were, I think, two attacks as well. I think there were 43 people that died that were reported as dead, and then 200 injured. I was reading an article and I saw a quote that was just like, when my people die, like, nobody really said anything. And you see, I guess it would be frustrating to look and see different news outlets reporting that different countries are, like, I know a lot of people were displaying, like, the national flag, like, for France, like, you know, displaying it on, like, the White House and different, like, buildings and things like that. And then, like, when it came to the attacks that happened there, nobody really, I mean, I didn't really hear anything, like, except for things about Paris. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm sure that's, like, frustrating.
Yeah, this is, like, part of a longer, drawn-out, like, this has been going on, stuff like this has been going on in the Middle East for a long time now, in excess of 10 years, I would think, since we started our military campaigns over there. So these are things that people on a daily in the Middle East kind of experience, and just in Africa too. I know Boko Haram is really active there, and they're another terrorist group in Africa. I think, like, northern and western Africa. But I know that at the start of the year in January, like 140 something students at a university were killed.
Oh, right. Yeah, it happened in April, but it was, like, it's been brought back up.
Oh, was it April? Yeah. And that was brought up the day, because someone posted that the day that the Paris attacks happened, and I clicked on it, and I was like, this happened too?
Yeah.
But then I looked at the date, I was like, oh, this happened before. Yeah. And nothing, there was no kind of campaign to be like, we need to stand in solidarity with these people. So it's interesting. I think it just shows the kind of, the way that media covers things is maybe not biased, but, you know, it doesn't give you the full picture all the time.
Yeah.
I'd say it's definitely biased in regards to, you know, Paris and then comparing it to, like, Beirut. We mentioned this in our Edward meeting. I felt like that was very ethnocentric, you know, way of covering things. And personally, I'm also very frustrated by how people are like, you know, keep politics out of this, you know, mass murder. And you know, you can't really do that because it's inherently a political issue, you know? Like the same people who say keep politics out of, you know, the mass shootings that occur in our country, like, every single day, they're also saying that. And, you know, you can't do that because then you have some people who say, oh, you know, if everybody in that stadium that got blown up were armed, or if they had closed the borders to Middle Eastern refugees, you know. And, and so personally, I think, like, almost the bigger battle here is to combat the different ideologies and different policies that led to this happening, rather than just, you know, equating causality with, you know, the refugees, and then, oh, there's this big attack, so obviously it's their fault. Like, that's, you know, causality doesn't correlate here.
Yeah, and I think the responses, too, to that, the U.S., along with France, is bombing Syria for a second day in a row, or maybe it's a third day, but it was just kind of like, this is the most logical response in the mind of, you know, the U.S. military is to go and bomb, which is not at all, like, going to help solve anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just the different responses, like, I don't know if it was Austria or Poland that they're, like, you know, ramping up their anti-Muslim rhetoric. And in Israel, there was a party that was banned, a political party that was banned, an Islamic party, in a really, like, draconian fashion. And it was in response to the Syrian, like, you know, the attacks in Paris. And just the politicians running for president now have jumped on this in the U.S. to completely politicize it. I think Trump said that he would, if he was president, he was going to shut down a lot of mosques and start surveying a lot more.
Yeah.
So
he was just tweeting a lot of ignorant things.
Yeah, like that, always.
That guy stays up to like 3 or 4 in the morning tweeting, you know, angry responses to like different bloggers and whatnot. It's hilarious. Yeah. You know, if I could throw some humor into this.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that although all the students studying abroad from UCR made it survived through. One student from Cal State Long Beach lost their life, and so we send our respects to Long Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the whole situation was awful, and I don't know. I feel like as far as one, like Paris being, I guess, more broadcast than Beirut and things like that, I mean, it's not a competition, and I feel like, you know, we can allow people to be sad about things, but also we have to, like, really consider why, like, you know, why was Paris focused on more? And, I mean, I think for a lot of people it's clear why, but I don't know. It's just things to think about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, very important that way. But also, I guess this ties into what we're also going to be talking about, you know, social media, because that was the one thing, like Facebook, you got to change your profile picture and you could kind of just log in that day and see like everyone making statuses about, you know, what happened. And a lot of the times, I don't know, like when I was reading things, I felt like a lot of people, it sounded like people felt like they were obligated to say something. And I kind of even felt that way myself. I was like, should I say something about this? Like, how is it going to look if I don't? Like, everyone's, you know. Mm-hmm. And social media now does play a big role in activism and things like that. So last week on campus, we had a few social media activists come down and talk about how they use social media for civil rights and things like that. Did anyone attend?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Cameron and yes. myself yes, I did. Attended.
Okay, mm-hmm. how was it?
You go first.
I really was really excited about it. Social media activism is something that I follow a lot. I didn't really realize it until recently, a couple months ago, that I started to really like delve into the kind of activism blogs that are out there. And you'd be surprised, like, there's a lot of things that people are up to date all the time. Like, they're always posting, they're always trying to get raise awareness out there. And when we talk about raising awareness, I think one of the most effective ways is through social media, despite what people may think about social media and how it's irrelevant or how it's just used for just, you know, things that don't really matter. This forum, really, the people that were part of it, they really brought into focus the way that we can effectively use social media. Like, for instance, there was a 16-year-old social media activist named Jason Fong, and he talked about the people who don't use social media. Like, it's so easy to just fire off like a tweet or like a Facebook like post about what's going on, and you and in that way you become like a mouthpiece for this political, like, you know, issue, and it's pertinent, like, it's really important that we do that and we don't just like succumb to apathy. And I think that's kind of what he was trying to get at, was like, it's such an easy thing to do, it's such a useful tool to have. So you shouldn't I'm not gonna, at least if you want to be socially active and, I mean, yeah, socially active and you want to be, trying to raise awareness about issues.
If I could just say something, I did not attend, the event, but, I'm very, you know, aware of how big social media is for activism and just journalism and whatnot. And I guess I'm the opposite on that end, because I am a firm believer in that, you know, we should leave journalism to people who, you know, are journalists. Because, like, social media, it's great, but it's also not so great, because, you know, there are so many different, like, dumb trends or things, like when people change their profile pic with the French flag, like, tying into, like, how the media portrayed all that happened on Friday. It's like, there's so much focus on that, and why don't you worry about what happened in Beirut and whatnot. And also, there are just plenty of things that, like, where people attempt to be activists and then it goes wrong, like when the Boston bombings happened in 2013, I believe. A bunch of people on Reddit tried tracking down this one man, and they're like, oh, hey, we found the guy, and then he was wrongfully, like, arrested.
But that's a little different than just voicing your opinion.
Yeah, just, like, using it to speak out about different issues, you know?
Yeah, so social media is great. It's a great power, but I'm a little pessimistic in terms of how people use it in regards to...
Well,
it's a different thing.
Yeah, even though social media, you just have to, even though you take in all these, like, interesting opinions in social media, you still have to understand the topic. You still have to, like, read the books, understand the concept, and, like, just to really know what the overall topic is before going into social media and forming your own opinions based, like, I don't know, just reading
it's
other
still,
opinions.
Yeah,
exactly. And I'm actually right there with Joseph in terms of getting a lot of my news from different sites or blogs, like, on Facebook, I follow The Guardian and Daily Dot and Mike, and they're very progressive news outlets, and I get a lot of my news from there, from, you know, from the articles that they post on there. So in that regards, I'm getting, like, the types of voices and the types of opinions that'll make the world better. I do like that. It's just, I guess, long story short, I have a beef with people tending to be dumb on social media, basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think for every, like, ignorant person that you have, there's a lot of people who really do dedicate a lot of their time into, like, making sure that they get their facts right. I think if you would have attended the thing, you would have maybe had a little bit of a different opinion on it, but were you going to say something else?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, the social media, as you said, it's great for awareness, and it does serve to that effect, especially that it is growing, or probably, if not the most dominant figure in terms of our news cycle today, right? At least for our generation. But It's just what bothers me about it is that oftentimes the awareness or an expression thereof can often get mistaken for action. And as like more people, and as it does continue to grow, social media, believe it or not, it is continuing to grow more users daily. That can often get convoluted in a way where we take somebody's tweet out or somebody putting a flag as their Facebook profile picture as people really behind an issue, when really it's probably, it only takes, I don't know how long it takes to put that flag up, but it doesn't take more than a few seconds, right?
Yeah.
And they're on with their day. I just don't know, like, yeah, there's activism within, yeah, it is an easier tool to reach out to people and reach masses. It's just, I feel like there's, I just question how much action is really being taken from the awareness that it, you know, portrays.
Yeah, like what's being called, like, slacktivism, I think, is, like, what's, I don't know. I saw, like, a comic a while back that was, like, all these people in their apartment building, and they were tweeting, like, I stand with her, and there was, like, right outside the apartment building, there was a girl being, like, attacked. But everyone was just, like, tweeting it while she was being attacked and, like, kind of looking, but, like, tweeting it.
Like, people just like to, like, people, they have their friends on there, right? And they want to show that they're a part of something, that they're around there. Like, stand with salt, be a part of the hashtag, be a part of the following.
And,
but it's really kind of to push, you know, I don't want to say agenda, but it's kind of to push their own profile then and actually push the movement itself. It gets construed for, as I said, an actual movement when really it's for the individual.
That's often how different movements die, when they start making it about the very human individuals. And what you said about selectivism, I guess for me it's that, and then also just what I would personally call dumb activism, like the whole thing with the Starbucks cup. It's like that's a non-issue essentially, and yet someone picked it up, someone who had a large following, and then that became a thing on the internet and social media, and so things like that can tend to frustrate me.
So, I just want to say, for like, in regards to like the profile picture, like changing it, it actually really just helps you feel more comfortable about yourself in terms of the situation. Because after you get that, after you change your profile pic, what do people do? Like, they like the picture, they comment the picture, you get all these notifications, and you get these like enormous dopamine rushes. And you just feel good about yourself, and you feel like
it benefits
you.
You
did good. But
and like, we're not discrediting anyone who has done that, because like, it does kind of take some sort of fortitude for someone to say, "Hey, I'm going to cover my own face up or my picture with this flag here," especially when you aren't even living in that country or have no relation to it. It does take some type of, you know, you do have to care about it in some way, right? It's just, again, like you said, there's also a personal gain to it as well. So. And I'm not, you know, this is all speculation on my part. I just feel
Me too.
And on all of our parts, I just don't know.
I think social media is good in that now more than ever we're able to talk about issues. Like, sometimes I'll just be on Tumblr and there are just all these things that I just find out about that, like, I would have, like, never even known about.
Is it a little desensitizing, though?
It is, in a way. It is. And, like, I find myself taking breaks just because I'm just, like, scrolling through, like, another story about, like, a lot of people that died, or just like all these issues, you know, and I don't ever want to become like really desensitized towards it.
Right.
But I do feel like awareness is one thing that I think is important that social media has done for us. Like, just letting people know about different things, but that can't be the only thing that you do, you know?
Yeah. I think at the forum, one of the questions that I really wanted to ask them was, everyone was talking about like, we need to do something about this. Like, we need to get involved. Like, you can't just scroll, but we don't really, like, I feel like it'll be through social media that we'll figure out how to do, like, what exactly we can do. Because nowadays, like, I think a big part of, sometimes even when we write editorials and we talk about raising awareness, it's like, how do we do this? It's like, we know that we're supposed to, but we don't know the steps taking it. And I think going back also to your point about desensitization, Rafika, I hope I'm getting her name right, Alani. She's a undergrad here, first year political science and film studies major. She talked about the way, like, for instance, when the Syrian refugee children were washing up on the beach, that was something, a day where I felt really desensitized, because I seen it as a picture and it's a very powerful picture. But when you scroll through so much of it, you kind of are, in a way, like, ignoring that, and you're kind of just like blocking it out in your head and being like, mm-hmm. oh, I've seen this already, I'm going to keep scrolling. So I understand the point of desensitization. When you're going through all these things, you can get really overwhelmed about it. But yeah, I definitely see it as like a good start to like we're starting to, this is a beginning of we're seeing this all a lot of this stuff happen like live, like a lot of stuff is happening live. So we can't, in the moment we can judge it, and in the moment we can say, oh, it's like selectivism or whatever, but mm-hmm. who's to say that in like, you know, 5-10 years from now, the people that were really pushing, like the organizations, because I think we're looking at the individuals as opposed to like larger political organizations that are using like Black Lives Matter. They use Twitter a lot, like that's yeah. you know, that's how they get really big in Vine and stuff like that, and the stuff that was happening in Mizzou, like we wouldn't have known a lot of that stuff if it wasn't put up on social media. So, and I think that that's also one thing that they at the forum they talked about was like we're seeing a lot of these things happen live, and we have to be a little bit generous when we see these things. We can't immediately write these people off as being like, oh, you're not really being effective, because we don't know that for sure. We're just seeing it like in the moment, you know what I mean? Like it's a process and it's a journey for someone to put their narrative out there and to really be dedicated to this stuff. And it's not always going to be perfect, it's not always going to be pretty, but you know, these people that are using it for good are they're doing just that. They're using it for good.
And speaking of activism, there was a Million Student March that took place also on our campus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of students came out for it. Were any of you guys there?
I was a
judge
for Chalk the Walk, so I was unable to, sadly.
Okay. Well, the demands were tuition-free public education, cancellation of all student debt, and a demand for a $15 minimum wage requirement for all campus workers. So what do you guys think about the demands, and if you were there, what did you see?
Well, I had to cover it on video, so I was always in the front just getting the shots of people just walking down, and it was a good crowd, you know. I don't know why there were balloons though, but the signs were really interesting. They were really they had good messages. Then they decided to move down to the UV. I was really confused right. about that, because I felt like they could have really gathered a lot more people if they marched around campus and blocking perhaps the streets on campus. And it was also a fast moving mob. They were moving really quickly on the streets.
Yeah, there was in the article that Aaron and Kimberly wrote, there's a guy in there who's really, really angry. Really angry, and Aaron only got a part of what he said, but that guy, you know,
he was really upset.
He was trying to get to class. Like, he was going to fight somebody because they were blocking his. And I think that, like, when you can get that angry at a protest, like for blocking your, you know what I mean? Like, in a way, it's doing what it's trying to do, but you shouldn't be you should have such disdain and such hate for,
yeah.
It's like you're kind of not listening to the message here, despite maybe the demands not being completely realistic. Like, one of them, in my opinion, the total cancellation of student debt.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's achievable for us. But otherwise, it's a really good message to send out there that we're crushed under, like students are crushed under $1 trillion debt mm-hmm. in the country. Like, we have some of the, if not, we have the highest debt amongst all the citizens in the country. So it's important that people know this. Like, it's affecting, you know, the way we live. It's affecting us as students. It's going to affect us in the future. It's going to affect our kids. It affects our parents now. It's not just students looking for handouts because they're lazy and they don't want to go get a job. It's like there are people who are literally living on, you know what I mean, by a string in college. And I don't think that people really understand what it's like to be a student and have debt over your head, as well as grades, as well as sleeping right, as well as eating. Like, it's a big issue that needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with what you said about people complaining about, like, students and whatnot. Like, if you look at the stats, like, the millennials are amongst, like, the hardest working people in this country. So, you know, it's totally not like, oh, we're just 20-somethings who want free stuff. It's important to not believe in that stereotype.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree to an extent. It's just, like, I feel like they're so extreme, at least on paper, right? I don't know the details of how mm-hmm. they want to get done, what they mm-hmm. say right. their goals are, mm-hmm. but like they're really extreme, and it ties again, like how effective is it? Like mm-hmm. extremism can only go so far to the point where it's just counteractive, mm-hmm. right? Because it right. breeds extremism on the opposing side of you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like while it's good to see the kids, students rally around not only at UCR, but all over schools throughout California, I think.
Throughout mm-hmm. the nation.
Mm-hmm. Throughout the nation, right? It's positive to see that. I don't know, maybe I'm too practical. Like, I just want to yeah. see, like, yeah, actual action being taken and actual yeah. effective. And this ties into this. This ties into the Missouri thing, which I don't know if we're going to get to, but it ties into all of that. I feel like they're kind of, like, yeah, they're rallying, but what will it really accomplish mm-hmm. until they actually refine their
yeah.
goals?
Yeah.
That's my issue.
There was also really kind of a harsh, like, us versus them mentality with the protest. Yeah. I know some of the leaders over there at the protest were kind of really, like, against people who were just, like, sitting at tables, just eating lunch. Just,
really?
And everyone was just screaming shame.
Yeah.
And just,
really?
I mean... They always scream shame. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I mean, like,
shame
just...
Shame is a very popular
yeah,
phrase.
Yeah, just that standard, like, just that people sitting yeah. by mm-hmm. not yeah. participating.
And it was also Scotty's yeah. birthday, and...
this is Chalk the Walk. We had the Scotty's birthday, we had the homecoming coming up, and, yeah, it's a lot yeah, going
and
on
a
for
protest.
That. And the protest was just in the yeah. middle of it.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think the demands are very out there, and mm-hmm. actually, Keely Mullen, she was, like, the national organizer. They kind of, like, ripped her apart on Fox
yeah,
News.
Yeah, I've seen that. She was really unprepared for that.
Yeah,
that
I feel like a lot of the students are probably in the same boat as her. Yeah. You know, they're just kind of out there like,
yeah.
this is what all of us would want. Of course right. we don't want death. Of course, right. you know. But it's like, you do have to think about, like, how
yeah.
would
yeah,
you
her
know.
Argument for yeah. the 1% was just yeah. nonsensical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. yeah, I think that as somebody who appreciates, you know, somewhat radical thought, I think that we should really look at these radical demands as trial and error, as like we need people to kind of step outside the bounds so that we can understand like what it looks like to be practical and to like to really be effective.
Right.
Like in the civil rights movement, like a lot of people, they demanded a lot of really, like back in the 1670s, a lot of really radical things. But since then, we've worked kind of to a medium. Which is the only way we're going to ever really get anything done. But you can appreciate the thought of these people who are really radical and are saying, we want to get all our debt canceled. Like, it's not going to happen. But it brings to light the issue of debt.
Yeah, it raises the issue. It puts
exactly.
the issue into awareness. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah,
what
and
it
I
does
think,
definitely.
And I think to go back to, like, about protesting, I think that we need to get a lot more creative with our protesting. Like again, we're using the old... you know, the routine, hold
yeah.
signs, march. That's cool and all,
right.
and like stopping traffic and whatnot. But in America nowadays, people are so, I'm going to use this word again, desensitized to this stuff. It's like, it's a prop. It's like routine. It's
seriously.
Like, oh, these
yeah.
people are just making noise. But we can be creative in the way that we get at people's attention. Like, we kind of have to be if we want to adapt and we really want things to change and we want people to be like, oh, like, you know, I'd never thought of it, or wow, that really caught my attention. Like, people need to be more creative. You can't just jump on the bandwagon and be like, I'm going to hold the sign
yeah.
and walk here on
like,
this
that's
day.
That's the thing, man. Like, we go to college. We know people, like, rally around things just for the sake of, like, people will just walk just for the sake of walking with them,
yeah.
right? And it's like, there's not really a, they're just going through the motions,
yeah.
you want to say, and
yeah, yeah.
people... We, as you said, desensitized, we've grown numb to the idea of someone protesting. And
yeah.
to an extent, it raises anger and annoyance mm-hmm. with those people more mm-hmm. so than actual,
yeah.
mm-hmm. oh, I wonder what they're protesting against.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
yeah.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up. We didn't get to Missouri, but maybe we will on our next show. But this has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. Prepare for finals, eat some cupcakes, be happy. That's really random, I'm sorry.
Don't get too crazy with studying and whatnot. Like, find little, you know, pieces of time to relax, nap. Just don't go overboard, please.
Finals are almost here. Eat, sleep well, and good luck.
Have a good Thanksgiving next week.
Yeah, that too. Get hyped for Thanksgiving, guys. It's worth it. It'll be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Racist uncles.
But
the food.
Thanksgiving prod as well. That should be fun.
Oh, yes.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Peace.